I apologize for those of you who would rather me keep my mask on just to hide my face, but I get really hot in this thing. Wanted to start out this evening by saying if you missed Mark's class last Wednesday, I would highly recommend going back and reviewing it. I listened to Mark several times this week just to try to remember what all he said and what I was researching fit right in lockstep with what he was saying. And Titus definitely did not have an easy challenge ahead of him by trying to start the church in Crete and start the churches there. So I do want to make a brief review. Sometimes I know over a week's time you can kind of forget what was covered the prior week. So I will be reviewing a little bit of last week's story to help you be refreshed for today. Specifically, I wanted to hit the ending of chapter 1, starting in verse 12. One of Crete's own prophets has said it. Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This saying is true, therefore rebuke them sharply, so they will be sound in the faith and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the merely human commands of those who reject the truth. Pretty strong wording here in terms of the description of what the Cretes were like. If you were to be put into a place like this, like Titus was placed into, it'd be awfully hard for you to still go against the current and to resist the temptations that this society had. They were considered lazy gluttons. And one of the commentaries I read had mentioned that some of them had been so lazy that they kind of treated their belly as a god, that they were idle people who would rather eat from others than themselves, so they would rather take from other people than to earn their food by their own abilities. Paul instructs Titus here to rebuke them harshly so that they don't continue to fall prey to Jewish teachings. As we know that Jews had a hard time with the new message, new plan of salvation, and there were lots of false doctrines, refusal to give up the old. To finish it off, it says, to be to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciousness are corrupted. They claim to know God, but their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Both their minds and consciousness does that not describe what we are currently in right now, what we're currently seeing in some parts of even the United States with corruption? These people had defiled minds. They were not thinking good thoughts. They were constantly around others who were given into their own desires. Okay, moving on to Titus 2 here. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Paul uses the word sound 9 times in the pastoral epistles here. We know the use of this word here refers to true teachings. We know that there were many false teachings, as I stated before, that were going around. So to have this sound doctrine, Titus needed to make sure that he was staying true to Paul's teachings here as he was trying to establish the churches. The Cretes were used to being lied to, as Mark had mentioned last week. That was almost like a tradition. They almost competed with each other to try to see who could do a better lie. We know that lies only come from the devil here. Many false teachings, included from the Jews, was very rampant through the area. When people are so used to being told lies, it's important that Titus here try to shine his light into this dark region. There are many lost souls in this area, pretty much all of them. They wouldn't take him seriously like they should if he had any deceit found in his message. That's very important for us to remember as we go about trying to teach the word to others, that we are not contradicting what the word says, but that we are taking what Jesus and what God had instructed us through his word to share with others. And if there's confusion, that's when you can help clarify, so that you don't continue to make the person think that you're being deceitful. Children who have been abused in their lives often find it very hard to trust adults and to trust others. Just like with these people, it would be very difficult for Titus here to try to shine the light and shine the truth to those who are lost, for them to start believing it. It says here, teach the older man to be temperate. That's showing moderation or self-restraint. Why is it important for a Christian to show self-restraint? Those who are lost are always looking, they are going to look for something different about that person. If you are able to exercise control in a situation that most people would give in to some kind of lust, whether it would be a gambling addiction or whatever it is, if they see that you're different, that's going to shine a light and help them to see that there's clearly something more about you. These older men were to be examples to set up for, they were to help with establishing with the elders. Titus was looking for those who were willing to step up and to become elders. And as Mark had mentioned before, usually you don't want somebody that's a recent convert, but the church had not really been established here in Crete, so most likely all those were recent converts. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so so that no one will malign the word of God. 1 Timothy 5 speaks about women being around 60 years old, which would be what they would classify roughly an older woman. Most likely the children would have already been grown and moved out of the house by this time. And these women would have already shown the practice of caring for their family. Hopefully their families weren't given into the lust and all the sin that was found in Crete at this time. They weren't supposed to be gossipers or slanderers. How many of you can honestly say that you've never gossiped about someone, you've never talked about somebody, you've never tried to slander their reputation because they did something wrong to you? Most people in this world have given in to that. And for Titus to try to find some woman who has lived this kind of life would be very challenging for Titus at this time. Not many people would follow someone who had a bad reputation without seeing they have truly changed. That's why it's very important for these women to have good character. Yes, you may have had a prior life where you were guilty of these charges, but you can always change your life. And that was obviously the message that Christ had brought them. Both man and woman here were to be self-controlled. You don't want someone that you cannot trust who may just blurt out vileness or slanderous things. That's the quickest way to make people run away from you. If they see that you are corrupt, that you're not anything different than what everyone else is like. You don't want someone that's going to go from 0 to 160 at the drop of a needle. They needed to have self-control. Just because somebody did evil against you does not give you the right to do evil unto them. Our country has had many movements. One of the most notorious movements is to empower women. To not rely on the man. You don't need a man. They don't like the idea that a man should be over a woman. That limits their freedom. They don't feel like that's right. They want independence, and that's not what the Bible teaches us. Women are to be subjected to their husbands. We all know the saying, a happy wife is a happy life. It's also important that these women are treated correctly as well. And that falls back on the man here. The woman can set many dynamics in the family and can help the man out quite a bit. Are there any questions or thoughts here? Okay, moving on. I wanted to include 1 Timothy 5:14. So I counsel younger women to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. If you are trying to start this new walk that Titus is trying to help with establishing the church, you don't want for people to be able to come and malign your teaching, to talk evil of it. So it's very important here that Titus is teaching the word correctly and helping to establish churches with the right type of people and showing the women and the men how they should conduct their lives so that they are examples to others. Matthew 5:16 states, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven." And 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into the wonderful light." When Christians claim to believe God's word, but they don't obey it, they dishonor the word. We can find many examples. I'm sure several of us have examples where a person claims that they're a Christian, but they don't do anything in their life to actually reflect it. It is important at this time and in present age that if we are claiming that we're Christians, that we're living that example. Moving on to verses 6-8. "Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us." As we mature in our age, hopefully we are less tempted by what the world has to offer. The lust of the flesh isn't so powerful upon your body as you get older in your life. Now, hopefully that remains true. I haven't hit that stage in my life, but as you progress in your life and you mature as a Christian, you should be able to resist the temptations that you gave into in your earlier life. This is why the instruction first was given to older men to be examples for younger men on their living a spiritual life. Because hopefully we would still, hopefully at this time, with the Cretes, that they still valued those who raised them, and they would find still some type of dignity and respect upon those older members of the society. And this would be a way that Titus could help establish the church by getting the older generation to help influence the younger generation here. The older people, they have been through what younger people are going through most likely. That's why it's important for the younger generation to respect and to follow the older generation in their examples. Paul encourages Titus to the importance of a strong belief in God here. "Keep these young men doing good things, so they aren't led astray." It mentions here that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Wouldn't that be good to know your enemy has nothing that they can say that's negative about you? Now, we know in Crete they had a lion going on a rampage. But if a person honestly was to give an account, hopefully they wouldn't have anything bad to say about them. A your character, as mentioned last week. Rick, he went to neighbors, went to employees, not with the church. What would those people have to say? Character. To them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be full. The teaching about God our Savior attractive. Slavery has bad connotation in today's society. But can we just use temporarily the word employer over slave? How many of you feel like you're enslaved to your employer? I know some of us feel like we're constantly giving our all to our employer, but as a Christian, that's the way we should be. Aside from our family and from putting God in the church first, we should be establishing ourselves as being different, of higher quality individual. And this is the same here for the slaves, that they should give their masters everything, that they should be pleasing them. We know Joseph finally enslaved the Egyptian people when they no longer could provide food for their families. They were indentured, or they were enslaved to Egypt to help pay and to help feed their families. It's important that we always remember that it doesn't matter. Well, let me say this. Most people are going to do what they need to in order to provide for their family. It doesn't matter if their family is able to have enough to eat or not. Hopefully the head of the house and those who are watching over the children and the family will provide, but times can get tough and people do get desperate. Back in this time, especially with Joseph, people need to eat. That's something that our bodies require, is the nourishment. Slaves had little rights and didn't have much dignity. You are owned. In Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 22, it states, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life." What does sin do? It enslaves us. It entraps us. But we have been set free. And the message, Titus, was to help with establishing the church, was that Christ has set your sin free. You have been set free. You're no longer trapped to your sins. Paul here clearly teaches that in the least desirable slave situations, slaves are to be subject to their masters. Do your job without complaining? Do you put your true effort in? This shows well for Christ. If you do, if you are wearing your Christian name well and not causing turmoil and problems with your employer. Having a positive attitude can go a long way. It's when everyone else seems down about their job. I'm trying to make this kind of relevant to applying it to our lives as well here. So that's why I'm trying to equate this to employers. All right, in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. God's very own Word became flesh to save a fallen mankind from the wages of sin. Grace was given for all mankind. Paul wants Titus to share this message to all that were in Crete. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. God's plan of salvation teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. Do you ever feel like you aren't worthy of this salvation? You've sinned and cannot seem to get away from the clutches of sin. Keep trying, as God reminds us in 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Keep in mind that we aren't guaranteed any amount of time on this earth. We could perish on our way home tonight. We need to work at being self-controlled, upright, and living godly lives. Paul emphasizes the importance of leaders being upright and holy. This example will hopefully spread in the dark region where sin is flourishing here in Crete. Not only is it important here for us to take these examples given to Titus, but also remember what is said in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 9 through 11. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. This message Titus was bringing was meant for all people, not just Jews, not just Gentiles, but for all people. Continuing with verses, I believe it's 13 and 14. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. What is this blessed hope? This blessed hope is Christ's return, and it was his resurrection from the dead. As Mark mentioned last week, we are to be eager to do what is good. Would you, as a man, be willing to hold office and to serve others? This was mentioned last week. Is that your goal? or you just make him buy? These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Paul tells Titus here to teach, encourage, and rebuke. King James mentions exhort here. To urge by strong, often stirring arguments, admonishing, advice, or appeal. Do not be soft in your words here, Titus. You've got to be strong. You've got to rebuke Satan here. There's a strong hold upon the Cretes here in this region. So this message Titus was to bring, like I said before, was not an easy message in this area where sin was rampant and lies were almost idolized here. If false teachings are present, deal swiftly with them. And we know that there were Jews out there that were especially trying to spread false doctrine in this area. Paul is expressing to Titus the warning not to let anyone discourage him. Remember, he is going into an area where the wolves are seeking to destroy what is good. Don't let man question your authority here, Titus. Preach the gospel in all truth, and they will have respect for you. Titus must live what he preaches here in order to win the respect of the hearers. And I would take any comments or questions, statements anyone has. This is the conclusion of what I had to offer this evening. Okay.
Two things I find kind of intriguing about the chapter is he was telling Titus, Paul was telling Titus to teach the old men. We have the phrase, teach the old women. We have encourage the younger men. We have teach the slaves. Who is supposed to teach the younger men? I think that's interesting. Paul doesn't tell Titus to teach the younger men. He says teach the older men. That's what they need to do so that they might train the younger women. They're a really good things that the older women are supposed to train the younger women. That's why it's important to have good, God-fearing older women in the congregation. They can help with that because they're going to have a better way of being able to train the young women. They're godly women. They're going to have a better way to be able to train the young women than I am or Titus or as going to be able to do that. So it's interesting. He tells Titus to teach all these people. But he actually tells the women, he gives them a responsibility to train and teach. The other point is about the slaves. And I don't disagree about trying to include, I mean, we should all incorporate that into our lives. But this is slaves.
Slaves
are definitely a part of the Roman Empire. And sometimes I think, you know, cancel culture, I mean, people want to cancel Paul for not like, not saying like to condemn it or something like that. And that people completely miss the point. Paul is talking about slaves being saved, being his brother. That is outrageous. You shouldn't even acknowledge slaves. You shouldn't even be talking to slaves. Let alone women. Let alone women too. This chapter is talking about how Paul is commanding and talking about slaves and women and everybody. And guess what? They're all saved. They're all in the Lord. And I hear that all the time. It really bothers me. It's like people that don't understand it. That Christianity
It's for
revolution. Yep. It brought everybody into equality and the same salvation. There's not a less salvation from the light. There is no.
Mm-hmm.
He will be, according to scripture, he will both be sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul talks more about it. And I want to point out 1 Corinthians 7:21. About when you came into Christ, whatever situation you found yourself in, you could be rich, you could be poor, you could be married to an unbeliever, you were not supposed to get out of that situation. That if that's the situation you found yourself in, that's what it was. And so 1 Corinthians 7:21 says, were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, Paul says, gain your freedom. Yeah, take the opportunity and gain your freedom. But it says, for he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's free man. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called, Christ's slave. That's the important thing, is that no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we might think, oh, I got it really bad. No, I have a I'm a slave. I'm not as good as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's saying, Jesus has made everybody, he's not a respecter of persons. He's made everybody equal. You live your life as best you can in whatever situation you find yourself in. You praise God for everything. That's how you make the gospel satisfying and acceptable to everyone around you. So I want to give Paul a little kudos. Sometimes he
I appreciate you making note that, yeah, slaves, this writing wants to help these slaves to understand you have as much potential for salvation as anyone else. And this was truly, truly a good message for everyone to hear that Titus was bringing.